"I'm sorry," said Twoflower. "What did you say?"
"All the way, the great fall," muttered Rincewind.
His eyes focused, looked puzzled for a moment, then widened in terror. He made the mistake of looking down.
"Ah!"
he opined, and began to slide. Twoflower grabbed him. "What's the matter?" Rincewind tried shutting his eyes, but there were no eyelids to his imagination, and it was staring widely.
"Don't you get scared of heights?" he managed to say.
Twoflower looked down at the tiny landscape, mottled with cloud shadows. The thought of fear hadn't actually occurred to him. "No," he said. "Why should I? You're just as dead if you fall from 40 feet as if you fall from 4,000 fathoms. That's what I say." Rincewind tried to consider this dispassionately, but couldn't see the logic of it. It wasn't the actual falling, it was the hitting he... Twoflower grabbed him quickly. "Steady on," he said cheerfully. "We're nearly there."
"I wish I was back in the city," moaned Rincewind. "I wish I was back on the ground."
"I wonder if dragons can fly all the way to the stars," mused Twoflower. "Now that would be something."
"You're mad," said Rincewind flatly.
There was no reply from the tourist, and when the wizard craned around, he was horrified to see Twoflower looking up at the paling stars with an odd smile on his face.
"Don't you even think about it," added Rincewind menacingly.
"The man you seek is talking to the dragon woman,"
said the dragon. "Hmm?" said Twoflower, still looking at the paling stars.
"What?"
said Rincewind urgently.
"Oh, yes, Harun," said Twoflower.
"I hope we're in time.
Dive now. Go low."
Rincewind opened his eyes as the wind increased to a whistling gale. Perhaps they were blown open. The wind certainly made them impossible to shut. The flat summit of the Wierenberg rose up at them, lurched alarmingly, then somersaulted into a green blur that flashed by on either side. Tiny woods and fields blurred into a rushing patchwork. A brief silvery flash in the landscape may have been the little river that overflowed into the air at the plateau's rim. Rincewind tried to force the memory out of his mind, but it was rather enjoying itself there, terrorizing the other occupants and kicking over the furniture.
"I think not," said Liesa.
Harun took the wine cup slowly. He grinned like a pumpkin. Around the arena, the dragons started to bay. Their riders looked up, and something like a green blur flashed across the arena, and Harun had gone. The wine cup hung momentarily in the air, then crashed down the steps. Only then did a single drop spill. This was because, in the instant of enfolding Harun gently in its claws, Nine Reeds the dragon had momentarily synchronized their bodily rhythms. Since the dimension of the imagination is much more complex than those of time and space, which are very junior dimensions indeed, the effect of this was to instantly transform a stationary and priapic Harun into a Harun moving sideways at 80 miles an hour with no ill effects whatsoever, except for a few wasted mouthfuls of wine. Another effect was to cause Liesa to scream with rage and summon her dragon. As the gold beast materialized in front of her, she leapt astride it, still naked, and snatched a crossbow from one of the guards. Then she was airborne, while the other dragon riders swarmed towards their own beasts. The law master, watching from the pillar he had prudently slid behind in the mad scramble, happened at that moment to catch the cross-dimensional echoes of a theory being at that same instant hatched in the mind of an early psychiatrist in an adjacent universe, possibly because the dimension leak was flowing both ways, and for a moment the psychiatrist saw the girl on the dragon. The law master smiled.
"Want to bet that she won't catch him?"
said Gracher, in a voice of worms and sepulchres right by his ear. The law master shut his eyes and swallowed hard.
"I thought that my lord would now be residing fully in the dread land," he managed.
"I am a wizard," said Gracher. "Death himself must claim a wizard, and he doesn't appear to be in the neighborhood."
"Shall we go?"
asked Death. He was on a white horse, a horse of flesh and blood, but red of eye and fiery of nostril. He stretched out a bony hand and took Gracher's soul out of the air and rolled it up until it was a point of painful light. And then he swallowed it. Then he clapped spurs to his steed, and it sprang into the air, sparks coruscating from its hooves.
"Lord Gracher,"
whispered the old law master as the universe flickered around him.
"That was a mean trick,"
came the wizard's voice, a mere speck of sound disappearing into the infinite black dimensions.
"My lord, what is death like?"
called the old man tremulously.